She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. 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 Say she's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You've taken me for granted because I please wearing these diamonds." And I could say, ooh, as if everybody knows what I'm talking about. As if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Changes clothes and puts on aftershave to compensate for his ordinary shoes. She said, "Honey, take me dancing," but she ended up by sleeping in a doorway by the bodegas and the lights on over Broadway, wearing diamonds on the soles of their shoes. And I could say, ooh. Everybody, you know what I was talking about. I mean, everybody, you know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about
I'm not afraid to die. Thursday and Thursday, and I think that makes a little more much push into this. Turn the volume up. So I'm going to turn the volume up.
She's a rich girl. So don't try to hide it. Diamonds on your soul.
Wait a second. What the hell is going on?
I don't know.
I think I was accidentally playing a song while I was talking, because it somehow
sprung to life in an unholy mockery of all that is pure and holy.
Yeah, man, it's like when Scully hosts.
Yeah, I know.
And we're really, really low in the mic levels from where I'm standing. I don't know. I'll see if KMD tells me anything about the levels. Otherwise, we're just going to have to live with it.
You should have turned your volume up really loud, so that way whenever we play music, it boxes your eardrums.
Yeah. What do you mean, boxes your eardrums?
Ruins them.
Like, boxes them like a boxer?
Yeah.
Who stands in a clearing? That's another Paul Simon song. Anyway, I'm Jack, and that's Xenophobe, and Riff hasn't said anything yet.
I said woo.
Oh, Riff always says woo. People probably think that's just like what the doorbell sounds like at the office. We should get a doorbell that sounds like that.
You should get a doorbell woo. That can just play an MP3 file.
Yeah, I don't know. Do they make doorbells that'll just play an MP3?
I don't know.
They should.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that you could, like, hack the Big Mouth Billy Bass to play any MP3.
That's pretty funny.
You could use that as a doorbell.
That's
but then everybody would be
great.
Afraid.
Yeah.
Well, because they don't know that it's going to just play an MP3 of ding dong. Me saying ding dong like that.
Or you could say it play an MP3 of nobody's home, go away! That's what I would do. Personally.
Okay. Apparently, I was being drowned out, and now I'm okay. Yeah. I don't know what the hell, the volume, man. Someday, somebody will make a mixer that takes regular headset mics, and that day we will buy that mixer, and then we will set that mixer up, and
solve this problem once and for all.
Yep. Mr. Magnifico says he's hearing some buzz in the background, but I think that just always happens because I honestly think that it is this long length of cable that creates the buzz in the background.
Probably.
So one day we'll figure something out. One day.
We need wireless microphones. Yeah, that's the ticket. I don't know if they actually make those.
Let's see. A lot of questions from the end of the show on Monday. Have you guys done anything exciting since last Thursday?
Nope.
Not really.
We ran Carazon.
We ran Carazon.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Did you finish it?
No, we got cock-blocked at Shade of Aaron.
I see.
We killed the big undead dragon thing, though. That was pretty awesome.
Nightbane or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, maybe someday I'll level my guy up and play with you guys again. I don't know. Gleave says the tip of the day should also include tips for other random games. That'd be pretty funny. That'd be the tip of the day that included tips for other random games. Wojo says if overwhelming gameplay for newbies, perhaps make more content only kick in on the second ascension. Yeah, that's always an option. I stand by my assertion that the game is not overwhelming for newbies. The game is overwhelming for somebody who starts playing, gets fairly into it, then doesn't pay any attention to stuff for 2 or 3 years, and then tries to regain a foothold, I think.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of those threads come from. I mean, the newbies who post threads about their play experiences tend to be people who are kind of figuring stuff out. And, What are you playing?
I've got a Game of Life generator thing.
I see. So you're just watching cellular automata.
Yes.
Are you making lots of glider guns?
That's what I'm doing right now. I'm programming in. I think the original glider gun that got invented.
Glebe says, "How many fucking people have to die off before I get my goddamn gender neutral singular pronoun?" I honestly feel like English has a perfectly good gender-neutral singular pronoun, which is they. And it's, whatever.
No one knows it yet.
Well, you get in trouble for using it. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to say he or she when every kid says they and then gets yelled at. I want a second person plural pronoun. Because there are times when you are forced to use y'all, even though y'all is not really
Yins.
A word. What?
Yins.
Yins?
Yes, that's a Pennsylvania one.
Yeah. I've heard it in the Ozarks, too.
Right at 42 says, I had mentioned a stainless steel shot glass in a previous show, but came up with other Ascension prize items. Plexiglass popper and brimstone bedpan. So would the plexiglass popper be like an amyl nitrate popper? So it's something that you could use once per Ascension to make butt sex easier?
Goodness knows I have problems with my butt sex during an Ascension round.
Are they equivalent to the problems you have with your sibilance?
Yeah, something's wrong with my sibilance.
And my butt sex. GigaShadow555 says, so about how often would you say you guys use your college degrees?
I'd say Riff is probably the one who uses his the most.
Yeah, some.
I use mine almost not, even despite the fact that my degree is in computer science. Pretty much nothing I learned in school has really applied at all to what I do on my job.
Our software development here is not particularly high-end.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if I can do it, it clearly doesn't take a real programmer. That's the assertion I would make. I guess theoretically, whenever I'm thinking about whether or not people would like something, I must be kind of in the back of my mind using something that I learned somewhere in some psych class.
That makes sense.
You know, but then again, every time you talk to somebody, the same thing is going on. Every time you're like,
yeah.
I wonder if I can get that person to give me a dollar. Think about ways to trick somebody.
I went to college to learn that.
Yeah. I mean, you could also just, you know, you could get a degree and go into the bathroom and then you'd use it every day. Several times.
Yeah. If my college experience was any experience, I would spend most of my day making LaTeX documents.
End up playing NetHack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I learned a lot about drinking in college.
Yeah.
I don't know that I learned a lot about drinking. I just got a lot of practice. I got really good at it. Right at 42 says, since we have a llama familiar now, when do we get a platypus? It could have every normal effect, attack, item/meat, drop, stats, etc. at once, but at 1/10 the power. After all, that's all a platypus is, the leftover parts of other animals. I don't know if that's true. The platypus could grant wishes.
Hmm. But only if the wishes are fishes?
I was talking to Hot Stuff and we were trying to figure out if there were any poisonous mammals. If there were any poisonous things that weren't insects or reptiles.
Yeah, platypus.
Platypus is poisonous.
Is the platypus really poisonous?
Absolutely. Yes, it has poison spines.
Huh. Because we were... You brought that up as a joke. How does the platypus deliver...
It's got like some kind of heel barb or something.
Yeah, like those little guys in the Golden Compass.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd forgotten about those little guys.
Yeah, me too.
It's amazing what a heel barb will do to jog your memory.
Yeah. I think
also, if your dog is named Barb, it's amazing what it will do to...
To get him to stop climbing on the furniture.
Yeah.
Speaking of...
What would you name a male?
Did he go back home, or is he still at... What's going on with him?
Yeah. Ankle spurs.
On platypus.
On the platypus. The male platypus.
What the fuck? And seriously, what does the poison do?
It says, although powerful enough to kill smaller animals, the venom is not lethal to humans, but is so excruciating that the victim may be incapacitated.
Huh. Hot Stuff, I believe, gets back into town tomorrow.
So cool.
So,
Hadn't seen his scrawny face around here.
Whoa. They're also the only mammals known to have a sense of electroreception. They locate their prey in part by detecting electric fields generated by muscular contractions. Platypuses are fucking insane!
Yeah.
What the crap? And they lay eggs.
So, like, platypus versus electric eel. Who would win?
the American viewing public.
It would largely depend on whether the arena was underwater or not.
Are platypuses mostly water-type animals?
Well, they swim. I think they breathe air, though.
Well, sure. So, if it was shallow enough...
I'm not so sure anymore.
Yeah, I might want to check.
You could say anything about a platypus at this point, and I'd half believe you.
Sneakabout had said something about the thing, about the wine cellar thing, so I finally fixed that, and,
By means of just completely rehauling it?
Yeah, by getting rid of the subzone stuff entirely, and I'm gonna have to do the same thing. So here's a question for both the two of you and for the listeners at large. Does the randomization of the junkyard subzones do anything for anybody?
I don't know. I have no idea how that works. I can help you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because just unrandomizing it would make it fairly straightforward, you know? Because basically, I feel like the people who... I don't know. I don't know if anybody actually has trouble with that. I don't know if solving that puzzle is fun for anybody or if it's just a nuisance.
I don't really know much about this quest, but is it strictly required to ascend?
It's not. It's one of the side quests in the level.
That's what I thought.
So I mean, it makes it. The thing is, it just makes it a little harder. It makes it so you have to pay more attention. It makes it so you have to actually read the attack messages. But I would imagine that there's Grease Monkey scripts that do that for you. Because this is the year 2525, after all. Nobody wants to do anything for themselves. You know, that is a song that I have not heard in
yeah.
I feel like I haven't heard that song in
I used to have an MP3 of it off of some soundtrack to something, but I don't even know
who it is. Another song that I hadn't heard until the road trip was that, apparently the name of the song was Indian Reservation, but the one where the chorus was Cherokee people, Cherokee tribe.
I have never heard that.
Wow, it's a great song. It's about the Cherokee people and the Cherokee tribe.
Oh no! I would never guess.
And how they're so proud to live and so proud to die.
Okay.
But it's I don't know. I feel like it's like a kind of offensive song about how mean we were to the Indians, but at the same time, it's like. You know, it's like, ooh, we were mean to the Indians. Like,
oh my God.
I'm not saying it's exactly like that. It's just, it's like that, you know. Maybe it has an earnest message, but its delivery isn't kind of, you know.
That sounds like my kind of song.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Do you know who did that in the year 2525 song?
It's one of those... Somebody and somebody groups. I can't think of the name though.
Zager and Evans.
Yeah.
So apparently in the year 2525, and then in parentheses, Exordium and Terminus is the title of a hit song from 1969 by the Lincoln, Nebraska duo Zager and Evans. Huh.
Mr. Magnifico links to the Wikipedia article for venomous mammals.
Well, are there a lot of venomous mammals?
I don't know.
Huh. Platypus, the Eurasian water shrew. It's a lot of shrews. The slow loris. Oh, good, man, because if the fast loris was the one that was poisonous, we'd be really fucked.
What's the difference between venomous and poisonous?
Venom is something that it, like, pokes you and poisons you, and poison is something that you eat and it poisons you.
Oh, okay. So it's like injection versus ingestion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Skunks can eject the noxious fluid from glands near the anus.
Everybody knew that.
I don't know if that counts as venom, although it apparently will blind you if it gets in your eyes. Though I have a feeling like a lot, so would, like, you know, chalk dust.
Yeah.
Like.
Chocolate.
Yeah, that's true.
Chocolate will blind you if it gets in your eyes. Or if you're a dog.
Thox says, it pleases me greatly to see that the new familiar includes a reference to Vert. Excellent trilogy. Good to see it mentioned in the game. Well, I had no idea that there were three.
Was it a trilogy?
Yeah.
I haven't ordered it yet, but I put on my wish list a copy of that.
Of Vert?
Vert, yeah. Because the synopsis looked interesting.
I have a copy that you can just borrow.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. And Nymphomation was like a prequel to it, but I did not know that there was a third one. Gleeb says, maybe the savvy pirate is savvy enough to just always avoid adventurers. Yep. I think Gleeb's wins. Um, Let's see. Blizzbub says, I figure that one is typically given four adventures of beaten up every normal combat time, but then the turn is counted after the effect is given. Am I right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's why some things like the lightning bolt and the sorceress's tower gives you four turns if you get killed by it.
There's actually a flag that we can use on the generic inflicting damage function that will allow us to rein that down into three turns manually. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
You were the one who added it.
No, I know.
I know because I used it today on the Hobopolis thing I was working on.
Oh, yeah. Monopolyman001 says, for Hobopolis, will we get separate turns to use on that, or do we have to use the turns that we get at rollover and from eating and drinking? No, it uses the same type of turns as everything else does.
You will have to choose.
Naked Jew says, "Will the Hobopolis familiars require multiple runs to fully collect?" Well, a lot of the Hobopolis familiars got triaged out at the last minute because we just didn't really have the sort of creative flash that we were expecting to, so we did not fill in those particular gaps. There is a Hobopolis familiar which will definitely require multiple runs to fully collect.
Not necessarily.
Well, yeah.
It will require multiple runs to be able to easily get it. But you have a shot of getting it, albeit a small one, on your first run.
I guess that's true. Landstuhl says, ever thought of enemies only affected by one form of elemental damage? For example, a pimple-faced nerd only affected by sleaze, or a nosy gnome only affected by stench?
Nerds can still be set on fire.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And they can be punched in the stomach. But yeah, no, that's interesting. We basically could do that now, because it's possible for us to give monsters resistance. The thing is, it would be hard to make it so a monster took no damage. It would be a pain in the ass to make it so a monster took no damage from normal attacks, but reducing the damage to one is basically like making it take no damage.
Say, that'd be just as good if the monster had no HP. If it had more than 30 HP.
Well, it depends, right? Because you could deal more than one source of damage in one round of combat. Like, if you had a familiar and, you know, maybe you were using the knife from the Hidden City.
Yeah, or the acid-shooting flower or something.
Yeah. And Naked Jew says, there is a notable internet flash video / silly song with the refrain, Llama Llama Duck. Yeah, that thing was fucking stupid. I don't know. A lot of things I understand why they're popular, but the Llama Llama Duck song, just like, no.
I mean, I've never seen it, but it sounds like just a ripoff of Badger, Badger, Badger.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Probably. Mm. Maybe it predated Badger, Badger, Mushroom.
It's a ripoff even if it did.
Grim Tooth says, Jake, the Spooky Ribbon Manor icon looks like it has three floors with a small attic for a third, but the inside only has two fleshed out floors. Any future implementations? Nope, just past implementations that people still haven't discovered yet. There's that whole belfry zone, the haunted belfry, that nobody's made it into. And you'll never guess what kind of monsters are up in the belfry. There's a hint.
Vampire bat!
One of the world's only venomous mammals. Slow loris. You know, like if somebody's crazy but in a really boring way, you say that he has slow lorises in the belfry.
That's really great.
Landstuhl says, what is everyone's favorite ice cream? Anyone enjoy going to Cold Stone?
I have yet to go to Cold Stone.
I've been there like once. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I've been to Cold Stone a couple times. They've got a really cold stone in there.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
I hardly ever do it. Every once in a while, my wife will be all like, I want some ice cream because I'm a girl. And I'll be like, okay, I'll take you to get some ice cream because I'm a man who provides things like that. So we'll go get some ice cream and I'll be like, well, you know, I could either just get nothing, or I could get the one thing I get every once in a while when I go to an ice cream store, which is a vanilla ice cream with gummy bears in it. Mostly because I like I like gummy bears that are really, really hard to chew. Like, I like really stale gummy bears, but also, like, when I was a kid, I would frequently, like, if I was chewing gum, I would get a soda and, like, make the gum really, really cold with an ice cube inside my mouth and then really enjoy chewing on the cold, hard gum.
You're kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like I like you know, I like just chomping on jawbreakers. And like
if
Atomic
like
Firebird.
Yeah,
wow.
I like things that I like kind of make me really feel like
teeth.
I'm getting the most out of my teeth.
Yeah. My favorite ice cream used to be Ben and Jerry's Cool Britannia, but they stopped making it, the fuckers. It was like strawberry with chocolate lumps and hunks of shortbread. And
I see.
It was really good.
So it was like a strawberry shortbread?
Yeah.
Cream.
I like the Willie Nelson's peach cobbler. I have some of that every once in a while. It's like just chunks of pie crust and peaches and little red mustache hairs.
Apart from the mustache hairs, that sounds really good.
Yeah. You'll eventually be able to use it to clone your own Willie Nelson. He's a cool thing. They're like, could somebody smoke this pot and have sex with all these women for me? Why, sure.
Just for things.
Oh, a lot of money to the IRS.
Let's see. Landstuhl said also, real world bug. There's a sink in one of our bathrooms where the motion activated faucet goes on and off sporadically after changing the sensor.
You have a motion activated faucet in your house?
No, it was at work.
Oh, okay.
Clarifies. Huh. I wonder if there must be some sort of short past the sensor.
is that a
problem? Like if Martin Short was ever participating in like a religious ritual,
right?
And he needed to.
that was great. It
sure.
Really was.
Past the sensor. See, I thought we had used up all of our dumb jokes before the show started, but
I don't think it's possible.
Turns out we are chock full of dumb jokes. We were talking about ascending to demigodhood, and I asked if, in 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, and I asked if you had to go out onto the marsh and find the demi-moor to ascend. And then Riff said that he thought Dudley Moore was kind of a demi-moor.
Yeah. He's short.
That's why it's funny.
Lycra Shampoo asked Mr. Skullhead, do you consider yourself a Charlotte? Do you know what that means?
No idea.
Well, look at me.
Unnamed Hobo says, is there any chance of getting new outfits soon? Yeah. No, I'm guessing that when Hobopolis rolls, there are going to be any number of new outfits.
Well, any number?
There's going to be a number of new outfits. Jun Tenki says, the bad moon familiar could be a black cat. Playfully attacks you, distracts you in combat with cute antics, making you skip turns, runs away with your items, eats your food. That's kind of clever, actually. As the bad moon perma unlock thing.
Mm-hmm.
You get a black cat somewhere. Yeah. Good thought there, Jun Tenki. War Junkie says, make the dyspepsia / cloaca cola knapsack sappable. I don't know. They're pretty different ideologically, you know? Like,
one of them's like, oh, I'm dyspepsia. The other one's like, I'm cloaca cola.
I didn't know they could talk.
Yeah, it's really creepy.
Yeah, the top flap opens and closes.
Parquet.
I tried to, because I knew that I would never be able to draw the same thing twice. when you had asked if it was possible to do, like, the open book and the open backpack for when the menus were open on the combat action bar, I tried to just sort of paint shop edit that backpack into being open, and it didn't work very well. I had a hard time. But if I did, then it would be easy to make an animated guy that was one of those knapsacks talking like that, and then we could embed a wave file.
I think we should embed more wave files in the game.
Dio says, hey guys, can henna face paint have a use multiple option? Thanks. You know, well, Dio's been around for a long, long time, as I recall. A fairly long time. He's in the 400,000 ranges. Let's see. I'm guessing that the henna face paint is coded for that. Let's see. 2355 is that item ID. Let's see. Looking through the code. This code is so big. All right. That is coded to take the quantity into account. So we can mark it multi-usable, and that is fine. And there you go. Woo! A deadhead says, when you receive the Welcome Back adventure, it mentions you remember leaving the familiar in your terrarium, even if you don't have a Llama Llama at all. Yeah. Right. That would probably... I forget where the code is to change that text, but probably fix that. Just write a third version of it. Because it has different text for whether the familiar is with you or in your terrarium, but it just doesn't have text for if you don't have the familiar at all. Deadhead also says, I want a bird tattoo.
No, you don't. I don't know if you do or not.
You briefly consider eating the delicious shimmering moth, but are filled with revulsion at the prospect. Wait, that not makes sense. Why? Because it's described as delicious. Let's see.
Lork says, there's so many tiny plastics that they're a bit of a pain to manage in your inventory or the display case. Any chance of a special storage for them? We had considered a while back, maybe two shows ago, adding in collective, like albums or collection shelves or something that you can use to sort of pack up a full set of tiny plastics into one item that's untradeable.
I feel like the odds of them having only one of a lot of those items is pretty slim.
Yeah. Plus, they'd want to be able to unpack them to, like, if they want to loan the rares to somebody or something.
Yeah, that is a practice I'm not sure that I like that much anyway.
Well, I'm not going to stop it, I don't think.
No,
unless we make them untradeable.
No, if we did another collectible set in the future, making the rares not so rare, but making it so you once you get a full set, you have to use it up to get a trophy for it or whatever.
Yeah, like that makes sense.
Much saner idea. Something that I'm probably going to have you do, something that I thought of a little while back,
yep.
Is to add more options in the account menu, but basically allow us to define a set of inventory categories that people can turn on if they want.
Okay.
So, like...
Well, I mean, we already do that, you know, in a non-generalized way with separating weapons by attack power.
Yeah, so basically just to, like, you know, to divide potions into, like... You know, you could have a section for cupcakes, you could have a section for snow cones, you could have, you know, like, so that people can define whatever they want separated out, and, you know, then have those sections show up. Basically, equipment wouldn't be impacted at all, and it would only be for the miscellaneous inventory section, which is arguably the only one that is a real problem.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, I don't know that it will need, like, a spindler. I feel like it could just have a database table with the name of a section and the...
A list of item IDs,
yeah. So, you know what? If anybody wants to suggest categories that we could add to that...
Feel free to do so.
Kimmy says, howdy, I know this would probably be a pain in the ass to do, but I'm wondering why there isn't a search form for Hanks. It makes pulling easier.
If you're using Firefox, and I suspect that you might be, if you click on the drop-down and start typing the name of an item, it will move the iterator down to the name of that item once you type enough unique letters for that item. It's not what you specifically wanted, but it does help.
Yeah, I can see if... I sometimes will not remember what an item... what word an item starts with, or whatever. or, you know, whether the grub or the ant is scrumptious or delicious, you know. I almost... It was kind of a last-minute decision to make all of the feathers alphabetically together, but... doing that is what made me think of the whole additional inventory categories. I wonder though if there are grease monkey scripts that sort of automatically do that.
I would imagine so.
Hell J says, you forgot to mention to Jick when you were telling him about the Prestige that it also has David Bowie as Nikola Tesla. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Ah, that's awesome.
Now I really want to see that
movie. Yeah.
That's
a really good book, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I have not read the book. I did not know that it was a book.
Yes.
Everything is a book, even animals and spiders.
I did not know that Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
Was
but
it?
But he has no fur.
Madison14 says, why aren't grubs and moths usable in combat? I mean, come on. Birds take like 2 seconds to eat those things. Yeah, but they have to flip their heads up backwards, and there's no way that you want to bare your throat to
yeah,
your opponent
exactly.
in combat. See, you thought there wasn't a real answer.
Oh.
Let's see. No Moshing says, how about you make the Trapstore quest send you into the Goatlet for milk instead of cheese and reward you with white Canadians if you're doing a Boostafarian run? Now, you know, that's one of those things that comes up every once in a while where people will be like, you know, how about making it so if you're Oxy, the Tavern quest gives you some spleen items instead of some booze and, you know, any other thing like that. And it... You know, adding in things like that just really sort of erode the nature of paths as restrictions, and paths were always supposed to be restrictions because there are special rewards for playing them. So, yeah. If you want to be able to use the reward from the Trapstore quest, don't go boost variant. Estrada says, the Possumancer skills Spirit of Rigatoni and Flavor of Magic both improve Sorcerer spells as well, but none of the Sorcerer skills improve Pasta spells. How about you have the Sauce Spheres and Intrinsic Spiciness work for Pasta spells as well, especially since most Sorcerer skills are not currently very perm-worthy? Well... Yeah, I don't know. You know, the Possumancer spells grant plus spell damage to Sorcerers, but... Sorcerers are intrinsically not as good at using plus spell damage as Possumancers are, so I think that it's kind of okay the way that it is. NC Sorcerer says, can we get some kind of base functionality for the Chameleon, or even, like, being able to equip a PPB and have it act as a standard Gravy Fairy or something? You know. Vidalia says, on the topic of the current game being overwhelming, I've been playing for 4 years and I'm overwhelmed, just saying. But again, you've been playing for 4 years. So I feel like playing the game for 4 years and trying to understand everything is going to make you feel overwhelmed. You know, you'd have to spend so much time on the game to really understand every aspect of it. I mean, we do not remember 90% of the shit that's going on in this game. We have
if it weren't for the wiki, we couldn't get anything done.
So, like, you know, it is overwhelming if you try and keep it all in your head at the same time, so, you know, don't. This is the answer.
Yeah, none of us do.
Like, I mean, granted, we don't really play. Yeah. Well, Rift does, I guess.
Yeah.
Not really. You play to see the content, and then
the content. And I haven't for a while. I it comes and goes in waves. I'll be, like, really interested in playing and ascending for, like, a couple of months, and then stop for a few months.
I see. MintBacon876 says, so Jick, you know that church by your house that looks like an ass? I live by there too, and I've heard a couple of kids who put cones on top of the domes to make it look like tits. Yeah, that's funny. NC Sorcerer says, it would actually be cool/fun/interesting if the imp worked based on how many people have it out at the time.
Huh.
That's kind of clever, actually.
Yeah,
absolutely. It wouldn't be that hard to do, too. I could just run a cron script every X couple of minutes that recalculates the power.
Well, it hits a global, right? Which is...
But isn't that how many people have it?
Yeah, but it what we could do is every time somebody changed familiars, we could update the global.
So would it be more powerful the more people had it out, or less?
No, I think it'd be more powerful the fewer people had it out, because that would actually be interesting, right? Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like that has that experiment definitely served its purpose, right? But that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
I'm not at all opposed to that. I certainly wouldn't want to make... Well, you know, maybe if there only was one guy that had it out, maybe...
Yeah.
If you could one-shot...
Yeah. No. Huh. That's pretty... That's pretty clever. Parafert says, Jick, have you seen the new improved Nexus War? And have you considered updating the login page for KOL? I don't really think that there's... I don't think the login page for KOL needs to be updated.
Updated?
I think we should add
in
more.
Terms of what?
To add more art and advertising, I guess.
Yeah. I logged on to Nexus War once, and I kind of got overwhelmed. But then I remembered, oh, right, if I just try to play, it'll all be over in 3 minutes. So, you know, I got a bunch of characters on Nexus War up to the point where I really had to start talking to people in order to play effectively.
I hate when I have to do that.
I'm not... Well, I mean, I don't have time to maintain a social structure for the sake of a video game, you know? So it's like, it looks cool. It looks cool. I have always been really impressed with what he's managed to do with the technology at hand. You know, if the game had monsters that you could kill, which I know it does, but they're like giant raid things. There's like, you know, 4 of them or whatever. If the game had monsters you could kill, I would play it every day, you know. But as it is, where you can only attack other players, and you know, you go and I mean I understand that it's an interesting style of gameplay to a lot of people, the same way that Nexus or that Urban Dead is an interesting style of gameplay to a lot of people, where you know you really have to think about what you're going to do with your turns that day, because otherwise you run up to somebody. You use all of your action points, getting them down to 4 hit points, yeah. And then you're just stranded. You know, that sense. But it's just, you know, it's not for me. I need the instant gratification. That's what I need. Zalan says, another side note, on the Afterlife Owl's Ascension page, could there be a notifier saying you've qualified for a bad moon run by the star sign section? A constant concern in hardcore is people becoming extremely concerned when they don't see it as a path option. The information saying such would inform them that it's there and alleviate some fear. I thought that it did.
I never coded it that way.
No, I coded the...
Oh, if you did, then I don't know.
I coded the bad moon unlock stuff. What does Afterlife Owls look like when...
The path is just it buried in that drop down.
Yeah, but
sure.
Okay. If pass flag player ID bad moon, echo note you have unlocked a bad moon sign for your next run. Be warned, being born under a bad moon is very difficult.
Is that like buried in an if dev? Maybe.
Oh, you know what it is. Okay, it's not buried in an if dev. It is inside. It is inside a div that only shows up once you've selected hardcore as a path. Okay, so I agree that that could probably be clearer. Subbot says, I think it would be interesting if there was a reward for completing a 100% familiar run. Maybe the familiar is equipment in your next life. Nothing fancy.
Isn't that impossible?
What do you mean?
Don't you have to use other familiars for certain... At the very end of the game?
Well, but not the way that it's tracked. So
it is possible to do 100%.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. That people do them all the time. The leaderboards are full of them now. They didn't. They weren't always, because it used to be that it was by percentage, but then it got to be by percentage, and then I think number of turns. But once all the percentages were at 100. We had talked about. A second piece of equipment for every familiar that you get for doing a 100% run with that familiar.
That sounds like it's a lot of work that I don't have to do.
It's a lot of work, and it's I'm getting to the point where I think that it's probably a bad idea for us to keep making decisions that require us to do a whole bunch of extra work every time we want to add some content in the future. You know, I thought, that's not going to be a big deal, the whole thing with the hats and the hat rack. But every time I have to do it for a hat now, I'm like, God damn it, why did we do that? Eventually, it's going to get to the point where our development time extends much, much faster than the pace of our techniques, and we'll get to the point where it'll just take a week to add a monster to the game, or...
Then we'll just have to hire some random upstart fresh out of college to help revolutionize our content adding process.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we did that once.
It seemed to work out okay.
Frankenmean says, if somebody has an elemental effect, shouldn't fumble damage take that into account, i.e. 4 plus 4 points of fumble damage with Disco Inferno? Boy, that would be mean. I feel like that. The thing is, fumble doesn't take like the differential between your muscle and your moxie into account, you know, to do bonus damage to yourself or whatever. The punishment for fumbling is not really supposed to be the damage. The punishment for fumbling is supposed to be the loss of that combat round. And, yeah. Gin in Tonic says, implement something with ammo which is consumed on use. I don't think that I have ever played a game that was made better by having ammo. You know, it's fairly easy to, you know, we could have an untradeable, you know, some sort of quiver that you wore.
On your head.
Yeah, a quiver you wore on your head. That would give you, you know, plus 30 fire damage with crossbows or whatever, because that's what you use as a quiver to hold bolts, right? What if the bolts are quivering themselves?
That's okay. Dirty.
A quiver... A container made of jello for holding for holding bolts. And then, like, you know, you could only get one. You could only have one of them at a time. It was a quest item, and once it had fired 50 times,
wait a minute.
It was empty.
Why would you have to equip it? You don't have to take up a slot. There's always room for it.
Oh, oh yeah.
It'd be like the fake hand. It gives you an extra accessory slot at the cost of an accessory slot.
Yep.
Weird. Something just happened.
I bet. Frankenbean says, it seems that the dusty bottles of wine are not pickpocketable in the wine cellar. Is there a specific reason this is so?
Yep.
And that's all I get to hear about that. Apparently.
Well, the thing is, any drop with a conditional on it is not pickpocketable. Because that was the easiest way without having to look through every monster and every drop in the game to determine whether or not something was pickpocketable, to make it so you couldn't, like, pickpocket quest items without actually killing the monster that dropped them or whatever. And because of the way the subzone stuff works in the wine cellar, all of those drops have conditionals on them. A lot of drops have conditionals on them even that aren't important quest items, but there's really no reason you shouldn't be able to pickpocket it. But, yeah. It's fine that you can't, you know. Pickpocket is not supposed to be the be-all, end-all, awesomest thing ever.
In the history of ever.
Sable 4 says, huh, Jake, you've got the same problem with older 3D games that I do, except my problems also come with blinding headaches. The entire PS1 and N64 generation is a lost cause to me, except that certain kinds of emulation fix it. Virtual console stops them from getting headaches, apparently, as well as PS1 games on the PSP. I really would like to be able to play arbitrary PS1 games on the PSP. You can probably get a PS1 emulator for the PSP if you're like.
If you keep reading on, he tells you how to work.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it requires a homebrew-enabled PSP with Pops Loader installed to let you play a game Sony isn't selling. Huh. And it's harder to notice the glaring inadequacies of the visuals when the screen is so small by comparison. I started playing through Portrait of Ruin again a couple days ago. I think that'll keep me busy on my handheld gaming for a while.
The new Indiana Jones Lego game is pretty decent.
I picked that up for the 360.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, yeah. Have you were you playing on the DS?
Yeah.
Is it cool on the DS?
It's okay.
I like the way that they managed to preserve the sort of lock and key aspect that the Star Wars Lego games had. Like, you know, you characters with wrenches can fix certain. Although the wrench you kind of just get. Usually, if there's a puzzle that requires a wrench, there's a place you can get a wrench. But, like, you know, the idea that there are things hidden in levels that you have to bring in a character with a shovel to get the hidden object, or...
or someone who has a monkey, or... yeah.
Right. Or, I've only played through the first couple levels, but yeah, the those statues that only thuggies know how to interact with. I have no idea what those actually do. They just turn around and something falls out of them, or what. It is significantly harder than the Lego Star Wars game, though. I haven't gone back, but I find myself missing jumps all the fucking time. And falling off into space. And so I have yet to finish a level with the little bar full of how many bricks you've picked up completely full.
I've done that on every level so far, but I am obsessive about destroying everything on the level that can possibly be destroyed.
Yeah.
So.
That's how he works out his anger.
Yeah. The whip is a little hard to use. The World of Square says, my bartender friend informs me, and math confirms, that one 12-ounce can of beer has more alcohol than 1 ounce of hard liquor. Yet clearly, in your game, one can of beer is one drunkenness, and 1 ounce of hard liquor is three drunkenness. Explain, please.
Shots in our game are three times as big as
one. Yeah, they're 3 ounce. They're 3 ounce bottles. The airlines in that alternate dimension are awesome. Iluro Dragon says, dear Radio Bugbear, I think I might be listening to too many asymmetric shows. When I walked past the Sojourner Truth Garden apartment complex, I asked what kind of name that was. My walking companion said, wasn't she involved in the Underground Railroad? And I wondered aloud if it was an apartment exclusively for black people, but then I said, except they have to live in the basement. Please help. You could just stop listening. Or you could embrace your racism. Because it's like cute, funny racism, like a 90-year-old woman, you know? It's not not the bad racism, like the, you know, the white supremacist 30-something.
I'm taking it back.
Douchebag.
I'm taking it back.
So I got a copy. This is of limited interest, I feel like. But, so my great-great-grandfather had written this book. And my dad had a copy of the book, but so I have a copy of the book, basically, but it was a first edition printing from, like, 1912 or 1913, and it was really disintegrating, and I was, like, so sort of afraid that I was gonna, I'd never read it because I didn't want to, like, fuck it up.
Yeah.
Right? And it's been in my mom's house for forever, but I found on Amazon a copy of a random reprint of the book. Copyright some other dude. Who the fuck is that dude? I want to find that dude and, like, say, what the fuck, dude? Who the fuck are you? You didn't write this. How could you copyright it? So my great-great-grandfather was kind of crazy. He was super, super religious, a Seventh-day Adventist, and he was an assistant army surgeon in the Civil War. And
assistant surgeon?
What did I read? He was talking about, like, there's a lot of stuff that was, like, sort of led me to believe that he and people around him had the same, even in the very early 1900s, had the same, like, it never occurred to me to be a racist sort of thing going on. Like, it's as though, like, he was talking about, you know, they played with black children not knowing that there was even anything weird going on. And there's just sort of a lot of, like, I've only read the part that's, like, sort of reminisces from his childhood. There was a story about drunk turkeys. Apparently this bar had made a batch of what they called cherry bounce, which it was to take a jar and fill it with cherries and then fill it with whiskey, like we sort of did.
Yeah.
And then they threw the cherries out into the street, and then these turkeys came and ate all the cherries and got drunk and were all stumbling around and falling down. And then every time the turkeys would come through town after that, they would avoid that part of the street. and then my great-great-grandfather points out how if only men were that smart to avoid alcohol after the first time it hurts them. But no. Very, very much a teetotaler. Very much read the Bible a lot. And also not a very good scientist. He had this, like, sort of anti-tobacco thing. And he was like, oh, yeah, so I think tobacco kills you, and here's my evidence. One time I saw this guy who chewed a lot of tobacco, and I'm like, aren't you afraid that's going to kill you? And then a week later, he died. Oh, well, I guess that tears it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, not that tobacco doesn't kill you, but
everything not like kills you.
Not like right away. Yeah. Carrots. if you eat carrots and something else doesn't kill you, eventually eating carrots will kill you.
Yep.
Rydet42 says, will we ever be able to dual wield chef staves? Only when there's a bug that allows you to dual wield chef staves.
Yeah, and I will stamp it out with all the fury and might that I can muster.
Grethko says, today I got a video of lightning striking the ground about 5 feet in front of me. That's cool. Have you ever been close to a lightning strike?
Nope.
No.
I was once probably 15 or 20 feet away from a light post in a parking lot that got struck by lightning.
Wow.
Close enough that it made the hair on my arms stand up. It was really fucking scary. And the thunder was instantaneous and deafening. That was pretty cool though. I'll have to look at that. I'll have to look at this video. Damn, I've lost all my shit. Putneska says, would it be possible to make a combat action bar testing zone where one can edit the bar out of combat? The Molehill monster drops would be easy. Just wait. What?
I think that's second
question. I don't know.
You're looking to me to say something?
Yeah. Well, I'm just kind of thinking, but I'm thinking very quietly.
Because I don't really want to, but I don't really see why you need it.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it would not have to be a combat zone, right? There could just be we could, if we wanted to do this, we could just put a link in the account menu that was edit your combat action bar or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it could just be a form
that was... It doesn't really work like that, though.
Well, it could generate a form that was identical to the combat drop-down for skills and items and populated the combat action bar on that. You could do it, is what I'm saying. It would be a pain in the ass, and I don't honestly think that since there's nothing that you can do outside of combat that you couldn't do before the first round of your next combat, I really don't think that it's necessary. Let's see. This is the Molehill monster drops would be easy. Just go by the pictures. Digital underground dweller drops a digital key. That's funny. Dwarvish gnome drops some mining gear and gems. Spelunking astronaut drops a toy ray gun, jetpack, and space helmet. Velvet Underground drops a banana, and the Weather Underground Dweller drops personal rain clouds. I see. Now, those are all jokes, and that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
The Velvet Underground Dweller. Man, if the Velvet Underground Dweller dropped bananas, people would be... I don't know. Do you think people would be pissed if we reintroduced the banana?
Did we ever introduce... Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, with the trader. The trader brought the bananas that one time. There's still a lot of them left.
Yeah, I'd say wait at least until they're scarce. And then maybe have the trader bring him back.
And when that Godot guy gets back, we should probably think about it then.
Yeah. LOTE says, hey, magnifying glass by the bottles and spooky raven, please. Right. I should also have that. I should have Xenophobe do that. You're lucky, Xenophobe, that I...
That you what?
That I talk about all these things that I want you to do on the radio, and then I forget to actually put them in the wiki.
So you've stumbled on my little scheme, have you?
Spooky Raven magnifying glass, he wrote. Yeah, that's right. Oh, damn it, I just assigned it to myself instead of you.
No, you can't change it. Oh, yes, you can.
Fuck. Well, let's take a little music break.
Sure.
And put some more we'll put some more Graceland on.
I'm gonna go put some more rubber in the driveway as I drive to the Quick Mart.
Alright, we'll see you guys in 10 minutes.
Down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft? soft in the middle. The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away in my well-lit room. Just a beer, melon, beer, melon. Get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone? He stepped back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Daddy, and Daddy when you call. She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket, empty as a pocket, with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
she's crazy. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She's physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, you've taken me for granted because I plead. Where are you now? And I could say, ooh, as if everybody knows what I'm talking about. As if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. We're talking about diamonds on the soles of the shoes. Changes clothes and puts on aftershave to compensate for his ordinary shoes.
Thank you. Somebody sing, hello, somebody sing, somebody cry, why, somebody sing, somebody sing, hello, somebody sing, somebody cry, why, somebody sing. Somebody sing, somebody cry, why, somebody sing, somebody sing, hello, somebody sing, somebody cry, why,
Kulumani siswe, singani benja, baya chakulava sitanda,
and we're back. I need to turn down this thing in my ear. It freaks me out to hear myself talking.
Doop-a-doop.
Well, it freaks me out to hear myself talking at a delay. Ayum Bahara says, how come the back deck doesn't work again as a shortcut for adventure again at the sewer? Because the sewer does not use the regular adventure script. It is its own script. And there are a couple other things. Hedge maze is not going to work. The basement is probably not going to work. Zortek says, while under the Canhas Cyborger effect, substats gained from Divine Favors are not law catified. Yeah, the stats that you gain at the end of combat are handled in a sort of... It is a copy of what the adding substats codes used to look like. I think it's been changed a little bit since then, but it was to make it so rather than the end of fight doing a whole bunch of database calls to give you some meat and then give you some stats and then give you some other stats and then give you some other stats, it just sort of fakes the output of all those functions and does it all at once. So, same thing, you know, if you... It doesn't law catify combat items. So, same kind of deal. Apocalypse Throb says, "Holy whack-a-mole! You've surely heard this business about the chick that OD'd at her professor's house. You ever meet the guy? He ever meet you?" I found out about it via looking it up based on this question. And apparently, there's some community college, 19-year-old girl died of a cocaine overdose at her 51-year-old professor's house that she was sleeping with. She was sleeping with the house.
Well, you know what they say about the MRS plan. Start early, start often.
Start early, start often. Try not to die of a cocaine overdose before you get it.
Clearly she missed that part. That's okay. Not all mothers teach their daughters how to do it right.
I wonder if it's one of those things like in Dare where, you know, there are some people that the first time you do cocaine, it will just kill you. Maybe she was one of...
No, it's marijuana. It's marijuana.
It's just one of those things that I don't believe about. Although, you know, I'm scared of cocaine because of fucking Dare.
Yeah.
And I just, it's like, I remember.
I'm not scared that it would kill me right off the bat, but it is apparently pretty hardcore addictive.
I just, after I learned about the just sheer amount of bullshit lies that Dare spewed about marijuana, it's like, I just don't, you know what? Heroin can't possibly be that bad.
I wouldn't go.
Marijuana is the one that they really lie about.
Yeah.
Most,
yeah.
I imagine there are glimmers and smatterings of truth about other drugs that are involved. Not like LSD, probably not.
I mean, but I feel like they could tell you some things that were genuinely scary about marijuana, like, if you smoke marijuana every day for 20 years, it will make you stupid.
Yeah.
You know? So don't do that. Like, oh, okay. Wow. That's, you know, I now understand that there are long-term negative consequences to this behavior. It was, you know, it's just like fucking reefer madness. You ever had a bad case of the reefer madness, Rev? Right?
Where
you're just like, I'm hungry. And then you just go murder somebody instead of eating a sandwich. Happens every once in a while. Spleenmaster says, "The wiki says that the Blackbird keeps any equipment on it when it flies off. Is this the case? And if so, what if it happened to be a Mr. Store familiar equipment?" It drops the equipment that it was wearing back into your inventory. I think the wiki is wrong about that. There was a brief period of time during testing when one of the dev team was like, "Oh, hey, check it out. I just managed to destroy my plastic pumpkin bucket by having it on this Blackbird." And we're like, "Oh, yeah, okay, just fix that."
Doop-a-doop.
XXX, Snappy XXX says, "Could we get a way to sort our contacts list into sections such as clan, friends, asshats, etc.? Maybe color code is in chat. It would be convenient if you have a long list." Now, the contact list is as much functionality as it needs to be. I truly believe. Turnaround says, "Would it be troublesome to make it highlight your name if you go to the Hall of Records and you're on a list? What about the people in your contact list?" Well, it would be a pain in the ass because when you go to the Hall of Records, it's not, for the most part, generating live dumps of the data, but it is looking at some static files that are generated once per hour by the make Hall of Records script that runs in the background on our server. And, so, yeah, I mean, you know, you could probably write some grease monkey that would just highlight your name or whatever, but to get the game to actually recognize it for you, it would be some browser scripting stuff rather than some server scripting stuff, and it's like, yeah. Reed says, "Can we get some enchantments on Spooky Raven's glasses and the Mega Gem, please?" Somebody had, a long time ago, talked about how there would be some marginal amount of strategy involved in the level 11 quest if the parts of the staff had enchantments on them that made it, you know, so that you could use them, but you couldn't finish the quest until you'd stopped using them, obviously. But it would, you know, you would then pick an order in which to do them based on, you know, them. I don't think that it would actually add strategy. I think that if there was an enchantment on the Mega Gem that was beneficial, it would immediately be obvious which of the other branches it was the most beneficial for, and there would just be a right answer.
Yeah.
You know?
That's not so much strategy as it is just making things easier.
In the long run, it's making things easier. But you know, that said, I'm not against putting enchantments on those things. I'm not sure what they would do.
Makes a section run more better.
Yeah.
Minus one backspace.
Minus one day count. That'd be an awesome... That would be an awesome enchantment for a piece of cake.
Especially something that we sold in Mr. Store.
Yeah. Yeah. We should have an item of the month one of these months that all it does is puts a leaderboard on the front page of how many of them people have bought. They're untradeable.
That's a good idea.
I think that would be a terribly popular item.
They would call it the Gash Crab.
That's funny that the badger was supposed to be the Gash Crab.
Yeah. I still think we should call something the Gash Crab. Maybe in the high-level content.
Russer Butter says, is there any reason the wheel adventure continues to trigger after you've set off the bomb in the pyramid? I just forgot to make it not. Oh, and thanks for the llama familiar. I deal with llamas every day in my work, and I'm really looking forward to trying it out. Now I just need to get myself out of Bad Moon. Huh. What do you do, Russer Butter?
He makes guard llamas out of sand.
Let's see. Food Seeker says, old radio show question. Ages ago, you talked about how new players can figure out how to make the star gear for the lair, but how do they figure out the star key? Well, I'm pretty sure that it's by using fortune cookies that tell you that you need the star key. That's what got me. Maybe that could use a better hint, because it is a little... I don't think that any hint anywhere tells you, you know, exactly how many of the things you need or whatever, which it probably still shouldn't, but just at least get you experimenting. Ages ago, you talked about the Flash RPG Sunny, disappointed that you needed certain talents. I like that. Often, respecking and testing talents was much more rewarding than, say, World of Warcraft. Also about Sunny, you were amused by the way the enemy HP scaled, 100 at start, millions by end. Everything with more than 30k HP has a gimmick to win fast. Huh. Well, that's interesting, I guess. But the thing is, I feel like the way that everything that I saw was listed, that doc guy that healed himself, there was no way to beat him without that debuff that reversed healing and damage. And that's just kind of frustrating to me. Like, if you are trying to play that role-playing game and play a role,
yeah,
you just can't beat it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And that's frustrating. Like, I'm not saying that every class should be equally viable or equally easy, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't have stuff.
Yeah,
in the game
and not every possible combination of talents should necessarily be useful, because it's going to be possible to pick some combinations that just don't make any sense together.
Yeah, but, I mean, the thing is, the more freedom you give the player to develop his character, the more difficult it is. And I would say that it is impossible to create a widely variable and interesting progression system where it is not possible for the player to gimp himself.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, interesting is the main kicker there, right? Like, lots of skills, cool, you know. But like, if you specialize in being a blacksmith gardener, I don't know that. You know, and it's in a game where you can be a blacksmith gardener is interesting, but you don't necessarily get to kill any orcs as a blacksmith gardener.
Oh man, that warrior I have on Alaria, I made him a blacksmith and an engineer with no mining.
Sweet.
It was expensive.
You should have made him a gardener.
Yeah, I should have.
An engineer and herbalist. So, and I'm not saying that every class should be identically easy to play, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be class-specific content. I'm not saying that there should not be somewhere that you can go where there is a monster that you can only kill with this particular skill in this particular class's particular tree, but for it to be just one of the core bosses in the game. That game did not spread out enough to diversify at all, and so it did this weird, like, diversification by requiring you to just shift gears mid-game. Frankenbean says, after auto-selling some combat items, they still seem to appear in my WoW bar. I sold my 4 handfuls of sand, a barbed wire fence, and a baseball, and they still appeared there when I enter a combat round. Quantities appear to be wrong as well. Yeah. There are still some places that you can manipulate your combat items, and then it doesn't...
I could have sworn that I made the auto-sell page, and you just flat-out nuke those.
Yeah, I would have thought that would be one of the first things that we did.
I'll have to look at that later.
Yeah. Hi, Bulb says, people are asking about the Bounty Hunter items now they've got everything, and you said you don't want to add new items. But how about giving them a big wadge of meat if you trade in 100? It won't be optimal and won't affect Ascension, but it will give us players who've got hooked on our daily lucre hunt something to grab. Huh. I don't know. Maybe some useful consumable for, like, a week's worth. But I don't know about a big thing of meat for 100. That seems a little...
gash crabby.
Well, it seems a little gash crabby. It seems like something that Kathy would do in the comic strip. Kathy.
Is it company policy never to do anything that Kathy does?
Yeah.
Because
goddamn Kathy. Is there a worse I would rather
Garfield.
Read the Family Circus than Kathy.
Garfield is absolutely worse.
Garfield, you can at least imagine.
You can take a thin strip of paper and cover up everything that Garfield says in its
letters. Yeah. Or just edit Garfield out of
edit
the comic
of
entirely. Those were hilarious.
When I was reading about that online, did you ever see that at Halloween in 1989 or whatever, that freaky ass series of Garfield cartoons where he wakes up in the future where his house is a post-apocalyptic wasteland and I like to think that every subsequent Garfield strip is actually just his dying hallucination.
Yeah.
Glebe says, I have a trophy question. When we give you the briefcase full of $2 bills, does it have to be a nice briefcase?
Yeah, shark leather.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or one of those shiny aluminum attaché cases.
Only instead of... It's actually solid gold polished to look like shiny. Because if you polish gold enough, it looks like
the other day I was looking online. I was looking to see if I could get a real leather backpack. $175.
That's not surprising. I mean, leather jackets are usually in the $150 to infinity range, and it's about the same amount of leather as a jacket.
Yeah. I don't know. It's if it gets stolen.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm down $200 just for the bag.
And the contents.
Maybe I'll still buy it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's... check and make sure that all the seams are really nice and everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
they're not always what they seem.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you're paying for good construction and not just expensive materials. Yeah.
Mitchell says, can we cook lowercase n's with knob sausages to give us snossages? Please? Snossages. Pretty please?
What's in the bag? I can't read.
What's in the box?
Show me what's in the box. I can't read.
I love that. On the sneeze, didn't he eat some of those Beggin strips?
I think so. He made a Beggin strip LT.
Yeah. Those Beggin strips smell pretty good, but... yeah. I believe him when he says that things don't taste good. Corn with giant fungal infection.
Oh my god, that was so nasty.
He's basically stopped updating that site. That makes me sad.
A bunch of the sites I read have been, X Entertainment posts maybe once every 2 weeks. The Defective Yeti guy is hardly ever posting anymore.
I've never even heard of the Defective Yeti.
Oh, it's pretty good.
I gotta feel like you eventually have to get on with your life when you're a blogger. It is uncanny the extent to which that X Entertainment guy's memories and thoughts and feelings just eerily mimic my own. Did you see the thing where he went on a cruise and snuck absinthe in to the cruise in a mouthwash bottle?
So fucking brilliant. That's really funny.
This is my mouthwash, slotted spoon, and sugar cube. Shit. Yeah, I really hate the taste of mouthwash, man.
But yeah, just that him describing how just eerily resonant the episode of Amazing Stories where Christopher Lloyd's head gets cut off.
Like, I didn't see that one, but I remember him talking about
his experiences with it. Mirrored mine exactly. It was, I saw it once as a kid, scared the absolute shit out of me, and was just indelibly etched into my memory. Like, watching parts of it again, it was uncanny the extent to which I can still just see the shit that happened
in that episode. I don't remember that particular episode, but I used to watch the hell out of some Amazing Stories. And, like, when I saw that article about him talking like that, I was like, oh, man, Amazing Stories. And I could remember how the theme music went. And
right. A lot of them are pretty bad. I'll watch them occasionally on the Sci-Fi Channel when they're on.
Almost anything that I liked as a kid, if I go in back and watch it again, I'm like, this is really bad.
I mean, you know, The Goonies is still good.
Yeah.
I wasn't
wasn't as excited about it as I as amazingly excited about it as I was when I was a kid watching it. And I was like, yeah, that was pretty good. I can see why I like that. You know, but it's not the same.
You guys are like old and shit. I was really, really, really young when the Goonies came out.
I don't know. Maybe I just particularly like the Goonies a whole lot. I remember one summer vacation where I had bought a novelization of the Goonies, and I just read.
I had that too, and it inspired me to write my own novel, which was completely a ripoff of.
Oh yeah. Did you write it? Did you write a novel?
I didn't finish it. I got like 3 or 4 pages in.
I see. was it right after the kids found the map inside a statue in their basement?
Yeah, probably. The one kid's father, instead of being a plumber, was a blueberry farmer.
He just came home with blue feet.
You know, there was another story in my great great grandfather's book about a guy who I forget what he went to jail for, but he went to jail and they were going to put him to work in the jail, and they asked him what his occupation was, and he said bee hunting. And since there weren't any bees to hunt, they were trying to come up with something else for him to do for work in the jail, but he just refused to work. And he was like, you know, he just was adamant about, I won't work. I refuse to work. So they put him inside a big box with a pump in it and started filling the box with water so that he had to work the pump or he would drown. that's how they got the guy to work.
Dude, bee hunter sounds like my high school Spanish teacher. If a bee ever flew into the classroom, he would just drop everything, jump on his desk, and try to swat it out of the air with his bare hands.
Whoa,
he had an ashtray on his desk that was full of the corpses of bees playing with his bare hands. He was pretty crazy.
Huh.
Oh man, I miss that. I have to go back and see if he's still alive.
Was he old?
Yeah, he was old.
Oh yeah, man. There was another thing in the book about about a guy. I don't remember exactly what he had done. I think he could have been bootlegging because it was way prior to that. But it was like something where he just like sold booze to people or something like that. You know,
well,
like
making your own booze was still highly illegal after the after Prohibition ended.
But it was before that.
It was before Prohibition.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because he was born in the early 1800s.
Wow. I didn't know when your great grandfather was born.
Yeah, and I think maybe 1830. I guess not totally early, because he was educated pseudo middle age during the Civil War. Right? So. But I forget what the guy did. Anyway, this guy ran a business and did something that my great-grandfather didn't approve of and was like, but you know, but now that business is no longer there, and neither is he, undoubtedly reaping the rewards of his behavior. I just, like, wow, dude, like, and he'll talk about people he liked who are now dead and he hopes they're in heaven, and people he didn't like that are now dead and just assuming that they're in hell. It's awesome. Everything is backed up with Bible verses. And then there's a chapter about how parents are very much like their children, and I'm like, haha. Olaf says, Riff, any expectable time for the hint? Also, any plans for another puzzle contest? You're working on another puzzle contest, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I had been, but stuff kept needing worked on. The hint. Well, I was thinking I would deal with the hint for the thing, like, after we get Hobopolis out. And then I was like, well, no, everybody's going to be all excited about playing with Hobopolis. Well, wait a couple of weeks. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Right after then, we're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con. So it'll probably be, like, middle of August before we have a chance to put the hint in. Because it's not as simple as just putting the hint in. It's also the fact that I'm pretty sure that once the hint I have planned goes in, it's not going to be terribly much longer before somebody finally figures it out, and us here need to be prepared to deal with somebody finding it.
Okay, you're right. We do.
Yeah. You guys haven't told me what the hell you're talking about after the show, because I have no idea.
And, yeah, I am in my odd moments working on another forum puzzle contest, but that's going to be
that,
a while.
Reaches into the 80s and the 60s.
It might. I'll have to see.
How do you design a logic puzzle like that? Like, how do you
a big piece of grid? Grid
I just did it step by step. Like I had the grid drawn out and thought of a hint that would eliminate a couple possibilities and just added stuff until I had it filled, and then tried to work out hints that I could remove and still have it solvable, and which bits could be concatenated into other bits, and
basically just
played with it until it all fit together.
I like the 3D maze in the last one. That was my favorite.
That was kind of cool. I enjoyed that.
Wasn't I the one who found the error?
Yeah, I found the bug in it, yeah. And the fact that it had three shades of blue, just the colors, that was a mistake.
I mean, there were like, what, 9 squares?
Yeah.
It's kind of
hard
to come up with 9 colors.
Yeah.
I remember that thing. Explosion says, will there be any changes to the Llama Llama after all the it's only half a volley on the forums? Nope. The Llama Llama is probably overpowered the way that it is now, and that was a very minor concession to the balance gods. And it's still awesome, even though it's only half a volleyball. And the people who are messing with it and really sort of figuring out what it does and analyzing it and putting it in their spreadsheets that they're maintaining instead of having sex, understand that. So you should listen to them. Squee says, how did Zeno get so awesome? Was there an accident that smacked the suck out of him when he was a baby?
Well, whenever I was a kid, I got bitten by a radioactive nature.
A radioactive nature?
Yeah. You know, because nature abhors a vacuum, so he just got rid of all the suck.
I see. Okay. I got
that was
you.
A good joke.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Maybe you got bitten by a radioactive slow loris.
What the fuck is a
slow loris?
No idea.
No, I have no clue what one of those is.
J.I.K. Forever says, Mayfly bait and necklace aren't in the display case database. Not marked public? Yeah, they were not. And then I wrote that. But I marked them public after I read this earlier. Sorry about that yawn. Shinitenshi says, have you ever thought about creating more dungeons in the dungeon full of dungeons? Yeah, every once in a while.
The ill-fitted limerick, or was it Spoonerism Dungeon?
Yeah, there's the Doonerism Spungeon that Hot Stuff insists we have enough ideas for, but when I ask him to list even one of our ideas, he is unable to do so. The Pungeon would be okay.
The Pungeon.
It would be hard to work like a Shaggy Dog long-term pun kind of thing into a monster fight, is the problem. It'd be awesome if you could pull it off.
I actually have done that for this year's Comic-Con book.
Oh, really?
The climactic battle basically consists of Crack Rocks telling the Snappy Comebacks Shaggy Dog story, and it's 4 pages long, and he just cuts the bad guy's head off at the end right before saying the final punchline.
That's really mean. Wow, Crack Rocks is an asshole.
Oh, well, he's like Conan the Barbarian, basically.
A Deadhead says, implement the Grateful Dead / Jerry Garcia's middle finger adventure in the cemetery, or I will tell Hot Stuff's mom his username. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's completely...
Ziggy Zagnut says, hey guys, love the new content, don't listen to the haters, great job. Well, thanks, Ziggy Zagnut. Lansdell says, you have to get through Okami, Jake. The final boss battle is just too awesome to not see. Too awesome to not see?
Oh!
Well, there's Godwin.
Is that like
means we have
too legit to
about
quit?
It.
There was a really funny Cyanide and Happiness about Nazi Yahtzee. It wasn't actually about Nazi Yahtzee.
Yeah, yeah.
Lopi says, any questions or any concerns about people setting their expectations too high for Hobopolis, or more of a you can't please everyone? The thing is, like, Hobopolis isn't for everyone, you know? And so it's going to be pretty important to me, once we're done with this, to
keep an ear on the ground.
Well, to keep an ear on the ground, but also to get back to doing stuff that everybody can see. You know, like doing the single-player high-level content stuff is going to be so much fun, and if we do it the way... If we can manage to pull off what we're going to try to do, it'll be kind of like a neat episodic thing for people who are paying attention. Like,
so the third... Or so the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth episodes will be really good, but the first, second, third ones will really suck?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But we're going to start with the fourth one.
Okay, yeah. that makes sense. Yeah.
Unnamed Hobo says, any chance of level 13/14 quests after NS15 involving areas such as South as the Border and the Hole in the Sky? When we add level 13 and 14 quests, we basically know what they're going to be. Although, I've been trying to talk Riff into considering the things for the level 13 and 14 quests, the sort of container documents full of zones, into being additional high-level content vectors that are there even prior to NS15. But,
no, wait, I'm not sure what you're talking about anymore.
The thing with the stuff?
They're, okay, underneath Nemesis 5.
Okay.
Right.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Top one.
Yeah.
And then there's the one underneath that.
Right.
Which were going to be the settings of the levels 13 and 14 quests.
Right. Okay.
But
and
what I would like
gonna be.
Is for them to be areas that we can do like we're going to with the swamp stuff, where we add, where we can just add in a zone at a time of
I'm
high
cool
level stuff.
So yeah. We're going to add in a Demi Moore?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Landstuhl says, what they're going to have for Guitar Hero 4? Player-made content.
I think that's even worse than the fire! Have you seen that?
I honestly kind of liked
it. Oh, I loved it.
That was
hilarious.
The thing that I don't like is
the fact that there's only four buttons.
There's only four buttons. That's that. Like,
but how do you put a fifth button on the DS?
Well,
like
you don't. How do you put Guitar Hero on the DS? You don't. Is kind of my answer to that question.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that there's going to be more than like 10 songs on it because how much data can you store on those cards? You know,
like Ost, Tateke, Wendon have like what 10? I don't know, maybe even fewer than that. Oh, we've got the OST on the network graphic. the definitive has music's game, the cheerleader game.
Oh yeah, that one does.
Yeah,
that was the best. I love that thing.
I couldn't ever get into it. I tried to get into it, and then I tried to get into Elite Beat Agents, and I got, like, through one song, and then I'd play the second song and be like, eh.
Oh, well, there are actually 15 songs on that game.
Huh.
I mean, they weren't, like, super high quality.
Yeah, they're not,
you know,
I mean,
coming through the little
be
tiny DS speakers.
High quality on the DS either. I mean,
yeah, but no, but they used the biggest cartridge that they could muster at the time and got 15 songs of it.
Well, maybe they can catch up to modern technology.
Well, there's also the concern of, you know, using power usage. You can't, if you use a bigger cartridge, you're going to suck the battery down really fast.
I was just making a dumb condiment joke because you said they used the biggest card they could muster. So I said maybe they can catch up to modern time. I still remember one of the first Mad magazines that I ever had a Conan the Barbarian movie parody in it. And there was just there was a section where he was talking about how he mustered all of his strength trying to catch up with something. And speaking of which, I hadn't had anything to eat in 10 years. And then he goes and gets the lizard on a stick.
Well, I would look for new questions, but I got logged out, and I can't log in because Rollover is doing something.
Programmable doorbell that plays MP3 and WAV files. Sweet.
Now I can make the doorbell play, "If you want to be happy for the rest of your life." I think that would make everybody happy and not drive anyone insane at all.
Yeah.
People who I play Team Fortress 2 with hate that so much now, and it makes me so happy. Every time that my team steamrolls the other team, I'll play that song whenever we win. I've had people just sort of fly in anger towards me. It's funny.
Ooh, you can get the doorbell in unfinished hickory.
Woo! Thank goodness. If we had finished hickory, my phobia would have kicked in. You know how I'm afraid of finished hickory? It's horrible. I've been living in fear all my life of wood.
Twinage 305 says, "How much longer do I have Guild Quest, Riff?"
Nah.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I was saying about the other stuff, it's going to be at least until after Comic-Con.
Hoshi Nokabe says, "It is the new they." Yeah,
pretty sure that it's not a...
that's what it keeps saying on all of the linguistics blogs I read.
Do you read lots of linguistics blogs?
No.
It's going to say.
And Naked Juice says amyl nitrate makes non-butt versions of sex better, too. Yeah, whatever. Like, you know anything about non-butt versions of sex, and Naked Juice.
Non-cloaca
versions. Yeah, because those only have butts. Ah, that's awesome. Gunther Maplethorpe says, "When can I start wearing 2 solid gold peg legs? I just want to change my footprint so I'm untraceable." We should write a version of that thing about the footprints on the beach, and then Jesus is all, "It was there that I was a pirate."
The version I heard was with Eris. And she says, "That was when we were jumping on one foot."
And Naked Juice says, "There are many sorts of poisonous fish, arthropods, and porcupines." Porcupines are mammals, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then Squeeze says, "There's a big difference between poisonous and venomous. The platypus is not poisonous." Yeah, but I mean, it's... Well, Yerick the Real Bad says the platypus is one of 4 poisonous mammals that uses its venom during mating.
Dude.
Huh.
Fuck. Again, with the, "If you tell me anything, say yeah, that a platypus can do it, we'll probably half believe you." Insinuate says, "A bad, nasty buzzing noise going tonight." Yes, we know, Insinuate, with your incorrectly spelled yet phonetically correct name. Also, I'll talk like this when I'm reading your question because it's in all caps.
Manbo sent a link to the Wikipedia article about the pistol shrimp. It says, "Read the snapping effect thing." Apparently, it's a shrimp that makes a very loud noise. Remember the Simpsons about the Scream-a-Filler?
Yeah.
Dev Joe points out Zager and Evans singing the year 2525. Silt says, couldn't you make four zones in the junkyard with duped monsters, accept the possible attacks, and make the likelihood of each monster whatever it would be? Well, yeah. That's the thing. The monster conditionals are per monster. Right? Item drop conditionals are per item. So having the same monsters in multiple zones behaving differently is going to be harder when it's whether the monster actually shows up rather than whether the monster drops some particular thing. So it's what I think that I'm going to have to do to the junkyard is to just make it so the wrench is always over by the rusted out car, as opposed to it randomly shuffling the contents.
What you could do is just, whenever the player initially unlocks that zone, just assign four flags with the randomly assigned, whatchamacallit? Like, you know, zone X is this item, zone Y is item Y. And then in the conditional, just look for that flag and change the drop to whatever that number is in the flag.
But that's not exactly, it's not a drop from the monster.
Oh,
you have to use the magnet in combat after a particular attack text comes up.
I see.
So it's like, there need to be different versions of the monsters, because there is a version of the Batwing Gremlin that has the wrench and a version that doesn't.
Okay.
Tiny Plastic Corey says, the randomization was a welcome puzzle for that quest and made it more interesting for me, personally. Yeah. Yeah. Hogula says, is it possible to make a monster get healed by a certain type of elemental damage, like some sort of sentient lard beast that gets healed by sleaze damage? It would be possible to do that.
There would have to be a cap on the maximum amount of HP, which we don't really track.
We do, actually.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there is either a fight property or a field in the current fight table that is the monster's original HP.
Oh, that's weird.
Because I had to put that in for the Nomotronic Hyperspatial Giz modifier or whatever.
Right.
Because when you kill a monster, it had to base it on how many hit points the monster had.
It's probably something in the
Oh, that's right, because power and... and hit points, or toughness and hit points, or whatever, are the same thing, are they?
No.
Oh,
monster points are called toughness in the monster table.
No.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Because Jick is stupid.
What? I'm not stupid.
Yes, you are.
Landstool says, also, Mozilla Moon Dinosaur. Yeah.
Is there a version of a fire whatever that works?
It's still working on mine. I think
I had it on this computer, but it stopped working.
I believe they've updated it. I've got it. I use it on my main desktop machine. It's always Mozilla Sea Hippopotamus and stuff like that. And fucking Jungle Bunny. Well, we're almost done here. Let's see if there are any new questions in since the last time I looted, and if not, we'll find a song. And Syl says Martin Short is a poisonous mammal. Garnan says, will tiny bottles of absinthe ever be updated? No.
Tiny bottles.
Dr. Rockster says, it seems to make sense that pasta passing through a sauce sphere would become more powerful if on a flavor rather than a balance level. Well, yeah. Beckdog says, why is Radio KOL not listed as an official radio channel on the rollover page? I mean, you guys do a show on our KOL. Yeah, but, I mean, you know, so does, you know... I'm trying to think of somebody that I know who's a DJ that's not actually officially involved with the station. I can't think of any.
Your mom.
Yeah. DJ Your Mom. You know, he does a show on Radio KOL, but that doesn't mean it's his radio station. Radio KOL is genuinely not us. Somebody else deals with that entirely, and they let us do a show. What?
What is Raisins talking about?
I don't know.
Raisins?
Me 2008 says, that should be a familiar, a drunk turkey.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
The Tortellini says, will we ever get more Chef's Daves? Yes.
If you're good.
If you eat all your beans. And your green beans.
Clean your
Pogula room. Says, have any of you guys seen The Machine Girl yet? It's a movie that I imagine you'll like if you saw it.
I saw the trailer.
What's the story of Ricky?
Oh, have you not seen Story of Ricky?
No.
It's like just the most insane kung fu gore fest that you could imagine. It's like sort of like a live action Fist of the North Star,
Christ.
Except more so.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And Hogula says, if you don't want to watch that trailer while on air, I'll give you two words. Drill bra.
Bra! Like Dennis Drill?
Yeah.
Because that would really suck.
The Hogula says he thinks you could have beaten the doc in Sunny by draining all of his focus, or whatever the MP equivalent is actually called. Okay, that's a good one. Let's see. I'm gonna find a song to go out on and go out on that song.
That sounds like a splendid plan. So plan it.
All right. I'll see you on Monday. The rest of us will see you on Thursday.
See you guys.
All right.
Have a good night.
He's a former talk show host. Everybody knows his name. He said there's no doubt about it. It was a myth, the fingerprints. I've seen them all, and man, they're all the same. Well, the sun gets weary and the sun goes down. Elvis is the watermelon, and the lights come up on the blackhead town. Somebody. Well, it's not just me and it's not just you. This is all around the world. Out in the Indian Ocean somewhere, there's a former army post abandoned now just like the war. And there's no doubt about it, it was the myth of fingerprints. That's what that old army post was for. Well, the sun gets bloody and the sun goes down. Ever since the watermelon and the lights come up on the blackhead town. Somebody said, what's a better thing to do? Well, it's not just me and it's not just you. This is all around the world. Over the mountain, down in the valley, lives the former talk show host. Far and wide, his name was known. He said there's no doubt about it. It was the myth of fingerprints. That's why we must learn to live alone. Yeah.